First Test Builder. CD 1. Test 1. 1. You will hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer A, B or C. Question 1. You hear a woman on the radio talking about a politician.
Well, I read about that speech he gave yesterday about the state of the country, and I thought he had a point. I was quite surprised to find that I agreed with a lot of what he was saying, because I haven't been very impressed by him in the past. But they're all the same, really, aren't they? They just say what they think people want to hear. He'll probably be saying something different in a few weeks, if that seems like the right thing to do. It's hard to know what he'd really do if people voted for him, because he seems to have a different opinion every time he makes a speech. Well, I read about that speech he gave yesterday about the state of the country, and I thought he had a point. I was quite surprised to find that I agreed with a lot of what he was saying, because I haven't been very impressed by him in the past. But they're all the same, really, aren't they? They just say what they think people want to hear. He'll probably be saying something different in a few weeks, if that seems like the right thing to do. It's hard to know what he'd really do if people voted for him, because he seems to have a different opinion every time he makes a speech.
Question 2. You hear a woman talking about a song.
Oh, I really like that song. I guess it's the one that most people associate him with because it was such a big hit. I think he's written lots of great songs, but in fact, that's not one of his own. Most people don't know that because so many of his songs have been done by other people, and he's considered to be a really good songwriter. It's a shame some of those songs aren't as well known. They're just as good, if not better. Oh, I really like that song. I guess it's the one that most people associate him with because it was such a big hit. I think he's written lots of great songs, but in fact, that's not one of his own. Most people don't know that because so many of his songs have been done by other people, and he's considered to be a really good songwriter. It's a shame some of those songs aren't as well known. They're just as good, if not better.
Question 3. You hear two characters talking in a radio play.
Wow, that was some journey.
Yeah, I thought we'd never get here. All those delays.
Well, it's nice to be back. Travelling's great, but I always like the bit when I'm back surrounded by all the familiar things.
Well, it's not quite as luxurious as the room we've been in for the past fortnight.
No. And all that time not having to cook our own meals was great.
Yes. Well, it's over now. Back to reality. Come on, let's get the bag sorted out.
Wow, that was some journey.
Yeah, I thought we'd never get here. All those delays.
Well, it's nice to be back. Travelling's great, but I always like the bit when I'm back surrounded by all the familiar things.
Well, it's not quite as luxurious as the room we've been in for the past fortnight.
No. And all that time not having to cook our own meals was great.
Yes. Well, it's over now. Back to reality. Come on, let's get the bag sorted out.
Question 4. You hear a writer talking on the radio about criticism.
Criticism? Well, you certainly get plenty of it in my game. The key is not to be too sensitive to it. Even if I get a really negative review, I never let it get me down. That's not to say that I never read reviews of my work. Lots of people say they never do, but I don't believe them. No, I tend to see if there's anything I can learn from it, work out whether the reviewer's got a point about something I've written that I haven't noticed. If that's the case, I take it on board. If not, I dismiss it as a load of rubbish. Criticism? Well, you certainly get plenty of it in my game. The key is not to be too sensitive to it. Even if I get a really negative review, I never let it get me down. That's not to say that I never read reviews of my work. Lots of people say they never do, but I don't believe them. No, I tend to see if there's anything I can learn from it, work out whether the reviewer's got a point about something I've written that I haven't noticed. If that's the case, I take it on board. If not, I dismiss it as a load of rubbish.
Question 5. You hear someone talking about learning to play a musical instrument.
Yes, when I see people playing really well, it fills me with envy. It must be fantastic to be able to do that. I had a few piano lessons years ago, but I couldn't get anywhere with it, so I just gave up. And I tried learning the guitar too. I thought that might be easier. But in fact, the opposite was true, and I was even worse at that. It's a shame. These days there are so many chances to learn, so many books on the market, and so many teachers offering lessons. But I guess it's just not for me. It's a real regret, though, because I look at other people and think, if only I'd kept having those lessons, I might be able to play like that. Yes, when I see people playing really well, it fills me with envy. It must be fantastic to be able to do that. I had a few piano lessons years ago, but I couldn't get anywhere with it, so I just gave up. And I tried learning the guitar too. I thought that might be easier. But in fact, the opposite was true, and I was even worse at that. It's a shame. These days there are so many chances to learn, so many books on the market, and so many teachers offering lessons. But I guess it's just not for me. It's a real regret, though, because I look at other people and think, if only I'd kept having those lessons, I might be able to play like that.
Question 6. You hear two people talking about a reality TV program.
I see there's another reality TV series starting tonight about people who exchange jobs. Sounds good.
Yes, I've seen the adverts for that. I think I'll be giving it a miss, though.
Really? Oh, I really like that kind of thing. I like watching ordinary people and how they react in different situations.
Yes, I know you do. But there are just so many programmes like that. I can't be bothered to watch another one.
Well, I suppose you have a point. There are an awful lot of them. Even I don't feel like watching them all the time. But this one sounds fascinating.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
I see there's another reality TV series starting tonight about people who exchange jobs. Sounds good.
Yes, I've seen the adverts for that. I think I'll be giving it a miss, though.
Really? Oh, I really like that kind of thing. I like watching ordinary people and how they react in different situations.
Yes, I know you do. But there are just so many programmes like that. I can't be bothered to watch another one.
Well, I suppose you have a point. There are an awful lot of them. Even I don't feel like watching them all the time. But this one sounds fascinating.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Question 7. You hear someone talking about a sports stadium.
I've only been there once, just after it opened. But I was very impressed. It's certainly a big improvement on the original one, which was practically falling down. I went there lots of times and it wasn't great. But this place has been a big success, I gather, with crowd numbers up all the time. In fact, it's quite a long way outside the town, and people have to travel further to get there. But it's got lots of parking close by, and that's actually made it more appealing to people. Mind you, it's never full, so if you want to go to a game there, you shouldn't have much trouble. I've only been there once, just after it opened. But I was very impressed. It's certainly a big improvement on the original one, which was practically falling down. I went there lots of times and it wasn't great. But this place has been a big success, I gather, with crowd numbers up all the time. In fact, it's quite a long way outside the town, and people have to travel further to get there. But it's got lots of parking close by, and that's actually made it more appealing to people. Mind you, it's never full, so if you want to go to a game there, you shouldn't have much trouble.
Question 8. You overhear a manager talking to an employee at work.
Ah, Jenny, could I just have a quick word with you?
Yes. No problem, I hope.
Well, actually, there is. I've just had a complaint from a client. He says you were rude to him on the phone.
What? Me? Who said that?
Well, I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear it was Mr. Butler.
Oh, him. He's always really horrible.
Yes, I know he can be very difficult, and I appreciate how hard it is to deal with him.
And now he's complained about me. Oh, I've always done my best to help him.
Yes, I know. Look, next time he rings, just put him straight on to me.
OK.
Ah, Jenny, could I just have a quick word with you?
Yes. No problem, I hope.
Well, actually, there is. I've just had a complaint from a client. He says you were rude to him on the phone.
What? Me? Who said that?
Well, I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear it was Mr. Butler.
Oh, him. He's always really horrible.
Yes, I know he can be very difficult, and I appreciate how hard it is to deal with him.
And now he's complained about me. Oh, I've always done my best to help him.
Yes, I know. Look, next time he rings, just put him straight on to me.
OK.
Part 2. You will hear a talk about the song Happy Birthday. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
Happy Birthday had its origins in 1893, when Mildred Hill, a kindergarten teacher in Louisville, Kentucky, put together a simple little tune. Whether she composed it entirely out of her own head or was influenced by other folk song fragments is not clear. But when her younger sister Patty, also a teacher, added words, the groundwork was laid for a very pleasing song. They called it Good Morning to All. Good morning to you, good morning to you. Good morning, dear children, good morning to all. Good Morning to All was initially intended and used as a welcoming song to be sung by the teacher to the class each morning. But when it was published later in 1893 in a book of songs for kindergartens, it proved to be popular in reverse. Children sang it to their teachers, rather than the other way round, and the word children was popularly replaced by teacher. So the song gently morphed into Good Morning to You. In this form, young children across the United States began to sing the song. The slow development from Good Morning to Happy Birthday seems to have come from children themselves, with encouragement from Patty Hill, who helped create the new lyric when children liked the song enough to sing it at parties. In 1924, Good Morning to All, with Happy Birthday to You printed as an optional second verse, was published. By then, radio was gaining attention and movies were beginning to take hold. The Happy Birthday words replaced the earlier version, and in 1931, the song appeared in the show Bandwagon, then became a singing telegram for Western Union in 1933, and surfaced again in Irving Berlin's show As Thousands Cheer in 1934. The third Hill sister, Jessica, believing that Patty and Mildred should have the credit for the now very popular song and some profit from it, went into battle. Later in 1934, she was able to establish legal copyright to her sisters for their song, and it was officially published in 1935 as Happy Birthday. Since then, two legal changes in America's copyright system have made Happy Birthday copyright until 2030. Fortunately, this does not rule out its being sung privately, as it is at countless parties. It has been named in the Guinness Book of Records as one of the three most sung songs in the English language, along with For He's a Jolly Good Fellow and Auld Lang Syne. But the copyright can be enforced when the song is used in a public place where a larger group than a family is gathered, such as a sports event. Royalties must be paid if the song is ever part of a profit-making enterprise, such as a television show, a commercial stage performance or movie, or is built into toys, music boxes, watches, mobile phones, and singing birthday cards. In order to deal with their fully copyrighted property, the Hill sisters established a foundation through which royalties were paid until their death, and which still receives several millions of dollars of income a year. In 2002, the mayor of Louisville dedicated a Happy Birthday parking lot near Main Street with a commemorative plaque telling the story of the local sisters who composed the famous song. Although Happy Birthday has only four short musical phrases and a single repetitive line of words, it has become a part of the musical landscape. It is sung all over the world, in many languages, by one estimate, several million times a year, often to children who are too young even to know what the song is about, but also to just about everyone else. Happy Birthday had its origins in 1893, when Mildred Hill, a kindergarten teacher in Louisville, Kentucky, put together a simple little tune. Whether she composed it entirely out of her own head or was influenced by other folk song fragments is not clear. But when her younger sister Patty, also a teacher, added words, the groundwork was laid for a very pleasing song. They called it Good Morning to All. Good morning to you, good morning to you. Good morning, dear children, good morning to all. Good Morning to All was initially intended and used as a welcoming song to be sung by the teacher to the class each morning. But when it was published later in 1893 in a book of songs for kindergartens, it proved to be popular in reverse. Children sang it to their teachers, rather than the other way round, and the word children was popularly replaced by teacher. So the song gently morphed into Good Morning to You. In this form, young children across the United States began to sing the song. The slow development from Good Morning to Happy Birthday seems to have come from children themselves, with encouragement from Patty Hill, who helped create the new lyric when children liked the song enough to sing it at parties. In 1924, Good Morning to All, with Happy Birthday to You printed as an optional second verse, was published. By then, radio was gaining attention and movies were beginning to take hold. The Happy Birthday words replaced the earlier version, and in 1931, the song appeared in the show Bandwagon, then became a singing telegram for Western Union in 1933, and surfaced again in Irving Berlin's show As Thousands Cheer in 1934. The third Hill sister, Jessica, believing that Patty and Mildred should have the credit for the now very popular song and some profit from it, went into battle. Later in 1934, she was able to establish legal copyright to her sisters for their song, and it was officially published in 1935 as Happy Birthday. Since then, two legal changes in America's copyright system have made Happy Birthday copyright until 2030. Fortunately, this does not rule out its being sung privately, as it is at countless parties. It has been named in the Guinness Book of Records as one of the three most sung songs in the English language, along with For He's a Jolly Good Fellow and Auld Lang Syne. But the copyright can be enforced when the song is used in a public place where a larger group than a family is gathered, such as a sports event. Royalties must be paid if the song is ever part of a profit-making enterprise, such as a television show, a commercial stage performance or movie, or is built into toys, music boxes, watches, mobile phones, and singing birthday cards. In order to deal with their fully copyrighted property, the Hill sisters established a foundation through which royalties were paid until their death, and which still receives several millions of dollars of income a year. In 2002, the mayor of Louisville dedicated a Happy Birthday parking lot near Main Street, with a commemorative plaque telling the story of the local sisters who composed the famous song. Although Happy Birthday has only four short musical phrases and a single repetitive line of words, it has become a part of the musical landscape. It is sung all over the world, in many languages, by one estimate, several million times a year, often to children who are too young even to know what the song is about, but also to just about everyone else.
Part 3. You will hear five short extracts in which people are talking about phone calls they received. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list A to H how each speaker felt during the phone call. Use the letters only once. There are three extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3. Speaker 1.
I had a phone call at work today from a customer who was very angry and wanted to make a complaint. She was going on and on at me about how bad the service from us was. She was really shouting. Well, I stayed calm and was as friendly as I could be because I felt that she had a point. I didn't blame her for being so angry. I would have felt the same in her position. We really had treated her badly. It's a shame, because she's always been a good customer of ours.
Speaker 2.
A friend of mine rang me last night and she was clearly very upset about something. She was accusing me of saying terrible things about her to other people, but I really didn't know where she got that idea from. Nothing she was saying made any sense to me. I kept asking her where she'd got that information from, but I didn't get any clear answers. I knew I hadn't said any of these things, so I didn't feel any need to defend myself. But I didn't know what to say because I didn't have a clue what she was talking about.
Speaker 3.
My cousin phoned a couple of days ago to tell me that he'd had to cancel a family party he'd organised because a lot of people had said they couldn't make it. It's a pity, because I was really looking forward to getting together with everyone, especially the ones I haven't seen for a while. I know some people don't like family events, but I'm not one of those. Anyway, he says he'll try to organise it again at a later date, so hopefully it'll take place at some point.
Speaker 4.
I had a phone call last night from someone in my class at college. We had a huge argument yesterday about something that really didn't matter, and I thought she was going to be really angry with me. I'd said some really horrible things to her, and I assumed that she'd fallen out with me and would never speak to me again. But it turned out I was wrong about that. In fact, she'd phoned to apologise to me. She said the whole thing was her fault and she didn't want to fall out with me. I was really pleased because I didn't want to lose her as a friend.
Speaker 5.
A colleague at work called me at home last night to talk about some problem in the office. He wanted to see if I had any ideas about how to solve the problem. It wasn't really convenient to talk at that time. I was just in the middle of eating. And anyway, I don't want to discuss work when I'm at home. So I was pretty fed up that he'd phoned, and I tried to make the call as short as possible. I told him I'd think about it and speak to him at work. I hope I wasn't too rude, and he's a nice person, but I just wanted to get rid of him, really.
Speaker 1.
I had a phone call at work today from a customer who was very angry and wanted to make a complaint. She was going on and on at me about how bad the service from us was. She was really shouting. Well, I stayed calm and was as friendly as I could be because I felt that she had a point. I didn't blame her for being so angry. I would have felt the same in her position. We really had treated her badly. It's a shame, because she's always been a good customer of ours.
Speaker 2.
A friend of mine rang me last night, and she was clearly very upset about something. She was accusing me of saying terrible things about her to other people, but I really didn't know where she got that idea from. Nothing she was saying made any sense to me. I kept asking her where she'd got that information from, but I didn't get any clear answers. I knew I hadn't said any of these things, so I didn't feel any need to defend myself. But I didn't know what to say because I didn't have a clue what she was talking about.
Speaker 3.
My cousin phoned a couple of days ago to tell me that he'd had to cancel a family party he'd organized because a lot of people had said they couldn't make it. It's a pity, because I was really looking forward to getting together with everyone, especially the ones I haven't seen for a while. I know some people don't like family events, but I'm not one of those. Anyway, he says he'll try to organize it again at a later date, so hopefully it'll take place at some point.
Speaker 4.
I had a phone call last night from someone in my class at college. We had a huge argument yesterday about something that really didn't matter, and I thought she was going to be really angry with me. I'd said some really horrible things to her, and I assumed that she'd fallen out with me and would never speak to me again. But it turned out I was wrong about that. In fact, she'd phoned to apologise to me. She said the whole thing was her fault and she didn't want to fall out with me. I was really pleased because I didn't want to lose her as a friend.
Speaker 5.
A colleague at work called me at home last night to talk about some problem in the office. He wanted to see if I had any ideas about how to solve the problem. It wasn't really convenient to talk at that time. I was just in the middle of eating. And anyway, I don't want to discuss work when I'm at home. So I was pretty fed up that he'd phoned, and I tried to make the call as short as possible. I told him I'd think about it and speak to him at work. I hope I wasn't too rude, and he's a nice person, but I just wanted to get rid of him, really.
Part 4. You will hear an interview with an American actress who recently made a film in Britain. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B or C. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 4.
I'm talking to Emma Roberts, who plays a spoilt, snobby brat from L.A. who gets dumped in an English boarding school in the film Wild Child, which has just opened here. Emma, what did you think Britain would be like before you came here? Did you think, like your character, Poppy, that it'd be rainy and cold?
I was so excited. I love England. I don't mind the rain because I'm from L.A. and it's never really rainy. I got myself a really cute pair of rain boots and a rain jacket. I love the weather and I love the people.
You became great friends with your roommates in the movie. How did you all get on when the cameras were turned off?
We became really good friends and really close. I think that shows on screen a lot. You can't fake that. We had so much fun together. I loved making the movie. It's been a year since the movie finished filming, and we still hang out. I'm probably going to see a few of them while I'm here.
What did you do when you weren't filming?
We would go shopping together. They showed me around London a little bit. When we were on location, we would all be staying in the same hotel. It was just really good fun getting to know everyone. It was great.
Can you do an English accent?
Not really. Well, I can, but I get embarrassed when people ask me to do it. I can do a London accent, but I can't do any other accent. They're so difficult. I think Wales has the hardest accent to do. Juno Temple, who's in the film, comes to LA a lot, so I see her a lot. I wish I could have her accent. It's so cute. I can't do a Scottish accent either.
How did you get on with the British cast and crew?
Really well. We all had so much fun together. They made fun of me because of my accent. I guess I have an accent. Do I have an accent?
You definitely sound American.
I do? That's what everyone says, that I really sound American.
But you are American.
I am, so I should sound like one. Anyway, we got on really well and hung out on the set.
How do you think you would cope if you were sent to a boarding school in another country?
I think that would be such fun. I've always wanted to go to boarding school, just to see if the books and the movies are right about it. I would love to go to boarding school in England.
In one scene in the movie, you had to dance on your own in the middle of the room. How was that?
Oh, embarrassing. It was really intimidating. I felt so dumb. I had fun with it, but I was embarrassed because it's fun to dance, but only with your friends. We did a lot of takes, so I had to keep doing it too. It's not a popular thing among girls my age in LA. I think it turned out okay. They edited it well.
What advice would you give to young people who might want to be a movie star?
I would just say, no, it's a lot of hard work. It's not just showing up and looking good. It's very difficult. You have to have tough skin so that you don't get knocked down by criticism. You have to understand that not everyone is going to like you. You just have to do your job and do your best and hope that people enjoy it. But if they don't, you can't let it wreck your life.
Emma, thanks for talking to me.
Pleasure.
I'm talking to Emma Roberts, who plays a spoilt, snobby brat from L.A., who gets dumped in an English boarding school in the film Wild Child, which has just opened here. Emma, what did you think Britain would be like before you came here? Did you think, like your character, Poppy, that it'd be rainy and cold?
I was so excited. I love England. I don't mind the rain because I'm from LA and it's never really rainy. I got myself a really cute pair of rain boots and a rain jacket. I love the weather, and I love the people.
You became great friends with your roommates in the movie. How did you all get on when the cameras were turned off?
We became really good friends and really close. I think that shows on screen a lot. You can't fake that. We had so much fun together. I loved making the movie. It's been a year since the movie finished filming, and we still hang out. I'm probably going to see a few of them while I'm here.
What did you do when you weren't filming?
We would go shopping together. They showed me around London a little bit. When we were on location, we would all be staying in the same hotel. It was just really good fun getting to know everyone. It was great.
Can you do an English accent?
Not really. Well, I can, but I get embarrassed when people ask me to do it. I can do a London accent, but I can't do any other accent. They're so difficult. I think Wales has the hardest accent to do. Juno Temple, who's in the film, comes to LA a lot, so I see her a lot. I wish I could have her accent. It's so cute. I can't do a Scottish accent either.
How did you get on with the British cast and crew?
Really well. We all had so much fun together. They made fun of me because of my accent. I guess I have an accent. Do I have an accent?
You definitely sound American.
I do? That's what everyone says, that I really sound American.
But you are American.
I am, so I should sound like one. Anyway, we got on really well and hung out on the set.
How do you think you would cope if you were sent to a boarding school in another country?
I think that would be such fun. I've always wanted to go to boarding school, just to see if the books and the movies are right about it. I would love to go to boarding school in England.
In one scene in the movie, you had to dance on your own in the middle of the room. How was that?
Oh, embarrassing. It was really intimidating. I felt so dumb. I had fun with it, but I was embarrassed because it's fun to dance, but only with your friends. We did a lot of takes, so I had to keep doing it too. It's not a popular thing among girls my age in LA. I think it turned out okay. They edited it well.
What advice would you give to young people who might want to be a movie star?
I would just say, no, it's a lot of hard work. It's not just showing up and looking good. It's very difficult. You have to have tough skin so that you don't get knocked down by criticism. You have to understand that not everyone is going to like you. You just have to do your job and do your best and hope that people enjoy it. But if they don't, you can't let it wreck your life.
Emma, thanks for talking to me.
Pleasure.